long ago. It's kind of like William Blake and his wonderful poem that says, to see the world in a grain of sand and summer in a wild flower, to hold infinity in the palm of your hand and eternity in this hour. We're working here with parables, symbols, metaphors. There's a lot in it, and a lot of mystery can be revealed. Well, today, I brought along a little gift for everyone. A little pack of wildflower seeds. How do you like that? George and I spent hours and hours and hours. From the bulk wildflower seeds we finally found at Mahoney's, and are able to create them, and now our ushers are going to help me in passing out this gift to you of the seed. Reminds me of the song we probably all know. Sowing in the morning, sowing seeds of kindness, sowing in the noonday and the jubilee, waiting for the harvest and the time of reaping. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. I remember singing that in my Sunday school at the Petersburg Congregational Church in Petersburg, which actually wasn't a town, it was just a church, in the middle of cornfields and oak fields in South Dakota. Somehow it felt even more profound because we did sow seeds and we did bring in sheaves, and I have to say it wasn't necessarily my favorite thing to do in reality. However, the symbol of it is amazing. Parables, symbols. The great Jungian analyst Marion Goodman said that unless something becomes, that is literalized, becomes a symbol, becomes a metaphor, transformation can't happen. We like to concretize things and make them one thing. So you have a pack of seeds, but you also have an incredible amount of other things here, metaphorically speaking, if you will. You know, it's kind of like on my way, when I'm driving to work in Winchester, there where I do pastoral counseling, spiritual direction during the week, and on my way there's this place called the Gingerbread Construction Company. Wow. My car and I have a fight every morning as we go past. Because I'm like, I need sweetness. And I pull in and get, you know, a cake-like muffin. It's actually a cake. They call it a muffin. Take it to my office. Take in the sweetness and then realize, flat. It didn't give me the sweetness I needed. The sweetness of a love that God offers, the sweetness of connection, the sweetness of being in a family or in a community, the sweetness of being in prayer with Christ. This is sweetness that if I concretize into sugar, doesn't work. A lot of life is like that, especially the spiritual life, if you will. We see a lot of different things that come forward when we don't concretize the parable and make it into history. To make it into history is to take out its energy. It's a living story, and it's living today in you and in me. And that life of the seed planted within the story brings all kinds of new things to bear. So today's parable, it's not a single realization, but a story that stimulates and brings forth lots of emotion, lots of thought, So who are you in today's parable? Are you the sower, sowing generously seeds? Are you the seeds, bringing forth new ideas, new life? Are you the soil, needing to be ready to bring forth the germination of these ideas? Are you all three, doing the dance of life, where these metaphors mingle and dance together? Well, let's look at the soil to begin with. How do you plant a garden, is my question for you. If you're like me, you'll get a plot of land, you'll grind, dig it up, but then basically, you know, some years, well, you just take that land out of there, that soil out of there, and you get the good stuff over at Mahoney's in Winchester, you know, where I got the wildflowers, and then you put that soil in, because that's the good stuff. Then you take your little seeds or your seedlings, and you just put them in exactly the right place, and then water them, you wait for the sun. But you know what? There's no guarantee. I wanted to know the outcome. Am I not in charge of the outcome? The story tells us actually no. We're not in charge of the outcome. God is. And the sower shows us this generosity is reckless. It isn't just this little area. All over, just keeps sowing the seeds. Wow. The seeds of love, the seeds of generosity, of kindness. Isn't that kind of strange? Don't we want to know the outcome of our generosity? We are working on a different system here, aren't we? What about Creator God? Creator God, who sowed the seeds of the stars out into the galaxies, billions and billions of stars, just sown out into the galaxy. We can't count them. And then there's like one little Milky Way galaxy that's part of the universe over here in this corner, and then there's kind of one little corner of that Milky Way galaxy, and then there's this one star there, and in that around that star there's like planets that are circling, and one of them has a lot of water. It's mostly water, little land, and on that land is you. You, Creator God, sowing the seeds of the stars, has created this reality for you to be born into. It is you. God has created. And each of us unique. It's for us to see our gift is from God, but also to see in each other the gifts that have been and are given in each. I guess I'll share with you a poem that touched me deeply out in South Dakota in particular, called The Two-Headed Cat. This is by Louise Gilpin. And what to me it describes is the unique gifts that each creative being can offer the world. She calls it The Two-Headed Cat. Tomorrow, when the farm boys find this freak of nature, they will wrap his body in newspaper and carry him to the museum. But tonight, he is alive in the north field with his mother. It is a perfect summer's night. The moon rising over the orchard, the wind in the trees, and as he looks into the sky, there are twice as many stars as usual. Wow. Twice as many stars available. But will we listen? Will we see? Will we understand each unique gift of creation? Part of it is once we see and understand, we start sowing our own seeds of love and kindness and recognizing the things we wouldn't ordinarily recognize. What about the seed? Now we have image in which we are made cannot be obliterated. That is God's promise, the divine image in which you are made. Bring it forth to the world. Or are we the soil? Now, the soil is another story, because how do we become good soil? Well, Rumi has one idea here that I like. He says, very little grows on jagged rock. Be ground. Be crumbled. So wildflowers will come up where you are. You've been stony for too long. Try something different. Surrender. Surrender to the will of God, if you will, so that my outcomes, I have to surrender. And that is one of the hardest things, to create that soil within. Or there's Yehuda Ahai's little poem in which he says this, from the place where you are right, wildflowers will never grow in the spring. The place where you are right is hard and trampled like a yard. But doubts and loves dig up our world like a mole, a plow. And a whisper will be heard on the place where the ruined house once stood. The cares of the world, the lure of wealth, choke the word. Its yielding becomes closed. What is the mark of fertile soil? Well, one person puts it this way, to be ready for healing, if you will, to be the good soil, ready for healing, two things we must do. First, we must be receptive, opening our innermost being. Second, attentive, listening. In today's reading, twice Jesus uses the word listen. 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 Be receptive to what you hear. Count not the cost, we might say. You know, we all know the story of the woman with the alabaster jar of ointment, or oil. And it was incredibly expensive, like a year's worth of salary. And she comes in and, you know, comes in and hears Jesus and just cracks it right open. Cracks it right open over him. And it just drips everywhere. And the whole room smells like this entire place would be like, whoa, fragrant. And so it was, you know, counted not the cost, and yet got ostracized, told, who is she anyway? And why does she think she can do stuff like this? What the heck is going on here? We could have sold this and used it to pay for a lot for the poor, said Judas, interestingly enough, who later, of course, we know, sold Jesus, did not use the money for the poor. And so our motives of closing in have to be examined also, but also our willingness to be not understood. If we break that jar of alabaster ointment, we throw those seeds out into the world of love and care, we may not be accepted, but that's part of the sower's story, isn't it? Well, there we have it. Who are you? Are you a sower? Are you seeds? Are you the soil? Are you all three dancing together, where giving is receiving and receiving is giving? This dance moves forward in all ways. And how will they know who we are? Have we heard the story? Well, do we have a recklessly generous, welcoming, accepting, receptive, attentive, abundant love that we're sharing with the world? Maybe then they'll know we're Christians.